Yes, testimony is a great. God works with everybody really in a different way. And when I think of my testimony, the question comes to mind, like, where should I start? And today I decided I will start from the end, kind of my story. And I want to read a few verses from Psalm 40, which is basically also a testimony in itself of David. I want to use that outline to apply to my story. It's really beautiful poetry there. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even a praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. And it continues, of course, but I want to stop here and just look at this metaphor that David uses here. And he speaks about a horrible pit, miry clay, and the image that I want you to imagine is that is closer to us of a swamp where you're stuck and you cannot really get out on your own. And a bottomless pit is just sucking you in, and the end is clear. Eventually, you'll go down. And David also writes here that he was in that condition, but he says God reached out. So it's his work that when we give our testimony, we actually, it's not my story, but how God saves people, how he's reaching out. And he's the one who's able to pull you out of that horrible pit. And then it says, and set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. And also, what's interesting, a person who has found himself that image, physically, when you imagine if you're fallen into this pit, all your physical being is just shouting, crying out for help to get out. But spiritually, surprisingly, we don't really notice that we're drowning. And normally we don't cry out for help, and we don't look for God. And this is where my story begins. But when you realize that you need help, God is able to pull you out. And he says, he put a new song in my mouth and praise unto our God. And that's what I also want to show with my testimony, that it's a praise to his saving power, and that many shall see it and shall trust in the Lord. So this is my prayer, that it would be an encouragement to you. And now it's like a flashback, 30 years ago or so, like from that moment. There is another psalm that says, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. And I grew up in a communist Russia, so naturally the teaching there in any school was that there's no God. Marxist slogan was everywhere. The religion is the opium for the people. And I kind of grew up with that. In fact, I looked at religion as the complete opposite of science. And I remember as a child even thinking, well, how can people believe in God? It's so foolish. Well, it's irony, the Bible says the opposite. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. So I was told by my parents that I was actually baptized as a baby because they followed the Orthodox tradition. However, they didn't know much about God. They never talked to me about God. I guess they observed some holidays and some rituals, like a baptismal, for example. Our funerals are important. I grew up in that setting where in school we were taught evolution, so I don't ever question it. I thought it was written by scientists, people who were smarter than me, so I could maybe trust them in some way. So I never questioned that. And the thing, I was growing up without even realizing that God existed. In my mind, it was maybe, I think it's similar to that environment here in the Czech Republic. God was part of a fairy tale. I liked fairy tales. I really enjoyed them. And some of them are quite similar to Czech fairy tales, where you have a devil roaming the earth and trying to seduce people into doing something bad so you can take him to hell. And so devil was part of many fairy tales, but God, not so much. And I had this image in my mind that any kind of religion was associated with just people made up stories. In fact, I ended up finishing high school. I went to study at the university, graduated from the university already, and I still didn't know anything about God. I was at least 25 years old when, I guess, the changes in the country started to happen. You know about the fall of communism, and they call it perestroika in English. When the government economy was changing into the market economy, everything was closing up and being privatized. And it was a time of freedom when there were people coming from other countries, some of them bringing their religion into the country. It's not just the Christian religion, but there were many other religions and even part of Christian kind of sect were everywhere. And I had no idea what to believe in, whom to trust. And I was not looking for God, really. My concern was to find a job, maybe make a living. So kind of that search for happiness that is provided by Constitution. Everybody's allowed to look for happiness. So, but something that I had was a passion for the English language. And I was studying it basically on my own because I was studying physics and they didn't really teach English very much. I had 1 year of English there. And I was doing it on my own so much that, I don't know, maybe God put that desire in my heart that I was looking for any kind of way to practice it and look for people who would speak English. And I found an advertisement at our university. Somebody put it there. And it said there that if you want to practice English, you can come and join I don't know if it's at a Bible study in English or just like a group where we would read the Bible and discuss it in English. And it was done, later on I found that it was done by a Ukrainian missionary, evangelical Christian. But even though I didn't believe in God, I didn't have anything against God. I was not an atheist who would just, with the foamers in his mouth, would be defending like God does not exist. I was more like an agnostic, didn't know what to believe. So it was quite interesting to me. I didn't even know what the Bible was. Like in the movies, maybe I would see some Catholic or Orthodox sermons where they would speak in Latin or Greek, I don't know, would make sense to me. And maybe I thought the Bible had all of that liturgies and things in it. But I went to that group, and it was really kind of something that appealed to me, because it was a circle of young people, students like me, who also wanted to study English, and the guy, that Ukrainian missionary, was really nice. And he said, I have Bibles in English and in Russian side by side. He brought them from somewhere. And we could easily read in English and then read it in Russian if I couldn't understand, for example, because it was still, for me, difficult to understand everything in English. And of course, theology and Bible could be challenging to understand. So I found it was quite interesting that I would do that and we would discuss together things that we can read about. And of course, in my understanding, I still, in my worldview, was more like an atheist and thinking that God did not exist. So I was kind of the opposition there in the discussion to explain them that, well, it's not really possible scientifically this or that what was happening there. So we had really nice discussions, and it was so interesting for me, the topic, and it was the first time I was actually thinking about spiritual topics of life and death, and it was written there in the Bible, I could read about it, that we would go there to practice English, but we would always end up speaking in Russian, because we would just get into discussion, and you cannot argue your point in a second language when you hardly, you know the language. So it ended up, for me, the interest shifted from the English language into learning more about the Bible. And a couple years later, I've been going there for a couple years probably, it just started to make sense to me that it actually, spiritual world is just as real as the material, and even though science does not prove the spiritual, we can still understand it. And God speaks to people, he changes people's life, and I was able to already go to an evangelical church just to see new breed of people, Christians, that I never met before. And maybe because their testimony, their life, kind of their attitudes, they spoke to me, to my heart, that I wanted to be with them rather than with the world. I wanted to be in the church rather than spend some time somewhere on the Sunday in the park. And it was at that time, maybe when I come to that first verse, and in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. When I thought about the whole, my kind of reassessed my worldview, I understood that there was no basis, there was nothing. It was built on the sand. There was nothing to really support what I believed in to be true. And I also realized that God's truth that I understood in the Bible was really... gave a new meaning to life, to my life. And that was the first time, even though I still scientifically couldn't prove anything that those spiritual values that the Bible was teaching, God was speaking personally to my heart, and I understood my sin within me was the barrier, and I had to get rid of it. So even though I didn't really understand it, how it worked, I prayed to God and I asked him if he is real, that he would speak to my heart and he would give me faith to believe. And then for many weeks and months after that, I prayed for faith. I prayed that he would increase my faith because I had maybe a little bit that certainly smaller than the grain of mustard seed, which moves the mountains. But there was something in my heart that would prompt me to pray regularly to God and really change my life. And in fact, I look at this psalm and I realize that I was in that pit, that I was drowning. I didn't know that. But God heard my cry. He pulled me out of that pit and he established my going. So my life was built already on my relationship with God. And I had to learn to trust him, to get to know him, as I can read in the Bible, that he reveals himself to us in a wonderful way. And he blessed me beyond any kind of expectation. That happiness that I was looking for in my mind, that the goals that I had in mind, they were nothing to compared to what I have today and the kind of wife he blessed me with. And it was all God's doing, and I praise him for that. Amen.
Thanks, Valerie, for sharing your testimony. So I've got something written with me because I tend to forget always what I want to speak. And I go on a different tangent and the conversation starts, you know, with a time of 5 minutes and it goes on for 50 minutes. So I just wrote something so that we could, or I could stick to the so-called timeline. Testimonial Sunday. I mean, it's actually a funny thing for me. Why? Because God has done so many things in my life, and I have always refrained from testifying or telling people. I always was reluctant to come forward, and I think, first of all, I'd like to thank Pastor for giving me and Valerie this opportunity to share our, testimonies and share our blessing, how God had transformed us in our life and the impact that has actually touched us and brought us from what we are, what we were, and what we are today. Now, let me start by telling a little bit of my background. So I was born in a Christian family. My parents are devout Christians, and they inculcated the habit of prayer and taking everything in prayer to Jesus Christ. Very much different from the environment Valerie was brought up with. And yes, he said he was baptized, and it was more of free will. I come from India, so mostly we had all the access to, you know, choose, to follow, to believe, to preach, and all that is there in a democratic country. We had that. So it was an early introduction of Christ to me in my life, and Jesus and the other biblical characters were with me. It was known to me. All the details were known to me at a very young age. I can happily say that my grandparents were missionaries. So we are like kind of three or fourth generation Christians. And they were missionaries in the Salvation Army in a town in South India, deep down the South. And they're amazing people. I can still, close and think of them to be such loving people. When I was a kid, and they were great missionaries. And my dad moved to the city from a small town to a city for work, and my mom, when she got married to him, moved along with him, and we were born. My sister and me, I have an elder sister, so we were born in the city, and we went to church. We went to church regularly every Sunday, and my dad served the army. So he was in the army for a while. So discipline was very, very important. And especially faith was important because his father was a missionary. His father was a Christian, and church was very important to us. So we went to church. We went to a CSI church, which is like the South, it's called the Church of South India, which is part of the Anglican Church and the World Methodist Council. So, and attending, church was something part of our weekly activity, and me and my sister would go to Sunday school where we learned from characters from Adam and Eve to David, Joseph, Daniel, Jesus, and then Paul. And we would get to know about stories, and we'd read them as a very young age. And as we grew, we knew a lot of information about the Bible. And these stories were kind of precious. It gave us a foundation. They were just mere stories, and they were not mere stories, if I could say, but it was something. We prayed and we did a lot of things, but that the value that we were taught at a very early age was prayer, especially by my mother. You know, mothers have great impact on their children, and what mothers do for the children and to their children, I mean, takes a long way. My mother is an amazing person, and she used to pray. I used to wonder, why is she always praying? So when I went to her and asked her something, she would pray and ask me to pray. I would scratch my head, get irritated as a youngster, teenager, and then an adult also. I would be like, Ma, okay, but you need to do something about it, right? Yeah, let's pray. And so prayer was something which was also part of our life, and not a single day would pass. Not a single day. I don't recount a single day when we went to school, when we were kids, when I went to college, when I started working. Every day my mother would pray, give a 2-minute prayer and send me out. Today, after a long time, I realize that. I don't know, wow. Something, if I recount those days, it was something which was really impactful in my life. And we prayed. And the prayer was actually part, and we would get up in the morning, pray, and then we'd study. We go out, we pray, and go out, and then come back. And then we had family prayers. We used to, and my dad was very, very strict about family prayers. Whether it is 2 minutes, 5 minutes, or 20 minutes. Before we had dinner, before we said our grace, there'd be family prayer. And all this was part of my life, and it was part so much that sometimes you become benevolent, or you sometimes, not benevolent, the right word is, you become complacent. You just are doing something, and you just continue doing things because you've been doing it for a very long time. And so the real question is, what is my testimony here? I remember it was sometime during my senior college days. And there was prayer meeting always there in our house. Once a month, people would gather and we had prayer. And as a teenager, as a college-going student, we're kind of rebellious, you know. I can see my friends also having the same issue with their children now. But I was like that. And during one of the prayer meetings, there was a song, the literal meaning or translation of the song was, "For you I died, I sacrificed my life. What have you done for me?" And in Tamil, which is my original language, it says, "Unakkaga naan marithene, enakkaga nee enna senjai." What have you done for me? I was an adult, senior college, and I was like, "For you I have died and sacrificed. What have you done for me?" This question was like pondering my head. I was like going on. This was always in my head. I was going out. I was coming in. And I was asking this questioning to myself. What have you done for Christ? What have you done for Jesus? Jesus who... This song had a great impact. So I was asking these questions. I was asking this question and telling that, you know, Jesus who loves me so much and gave up his princely position, bore all the insults and humiliation and died for me on the cross. for my salvation. So I knew I couldn't, but I wanted to make it up to Jesus. You know, make it up to Jesus and our Heavenly Father. And I started realizing the sacrifice, the divine sacrifice that God had given, sent His only begotten Son, and Jesus who died on the cross, bore the insults, bore the pain, bore the humiliation, and only for me, so that I could be saved. And I wanted to investigate further, start to know further, what can I do? How can I compensate? I am eternally indebted to Christ because I am saved. So I started visiting, I started going to Bible Study Fellowship. We have a big gathering. It's called BSF, Bible Study Fellowship, where we have all those big, intelligent theologians, doctors, civil servants, people who work in the government, top people coming there, and they used to share their experience, like what we have today with the Bible study. They're also, they used to pick up a book and go through it and share the inputs and teach us and guide us. And I started attending all the prayer meetings, tried my level best to give time. So because He gave His life, I started to spend more time. And I found great comfort in the Word. I started reading the Bible. I mean, no matter how many times we pray, I think our compass, our guide is the Bible, the Word of God. The more you read and the more you want to know and understand God, it is the Word of God. And how the Word of God, my mom would tell me, read this chapter today, read this, read that. And then I still remember I started reading a lot and praying a lot. And that really changed my life. And what happened was I started spending more time. And as a youngster, I had so many things to achieve in life. So many things to achieve, so many desires in my life that, that goes through your head. And God blessed me. And I was like, I got into IT, but I came out of IT and I could see everybody around me going to different parts of the world because they had IT background. And I was like, did I choose the wrong profession, supply chain management? And okay, that's all right. I used to pray to God and say, like, whatever I've chosen, whatever I'm here today, God, it is You who are going to lead me. I love traveling. So within India also, you used to travel a lot. Then I could just, if I could make one trip abroad, whenever it is, you know, if I could make that one trip. And God blessed me very surprisingly. He, in my work, I was into consulting earlier, and He took me to UK. He took me all the way to UK. I was there in UK for a while. And till today, I don't know how they chose me, how I went there, how I survived, and how I enjoyed. And there was no venue or no path that I could see. And then after that, I was blessed to go to Australia, to Melbourne and Sydney. I was invited to talk in a conference, and I was a keynote speaker. So I found myself being used by God in different ways, and it was surprising for me. And today I'm here in Prague. It's another big story for me how I got to Prague. And it all happened, it all fell in place. And it is because of prayer and because of, constant lookout in search what we can give to God and how God can transform, change us for our best. I think I always believe that actions speak louder than words. And so we need to ask ourselves this question: what have we to give to God? What does God want from us, His children? What can the children do to make our Heavenly Father proud of us? And yes, our Heavenly Father is fond and proud of us. And when we do things that He wants us to do, especially, heaven rejoices when His name is praised and rejoiced, glorified. As much as we have committed our lives to the Lord, let us learn to give for God. For He gave His only begotten Son, only begotten Son. Life is and has been amazingly wonderful in the fullness of love that God gives us. And I am a living testimony of how God can bless people no matter what, whether we are stuck in a miry or muddy clay, and God just takes you out and have the faith, build your relationship with God, and God will do amazing things in life, personally as well as professionally. And that's my testimony today.